Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo, and we're reading through the Bible. This is the book of Genesis, chapter 35. Let's all go up to the throne to ask the Lord to bless our day and to bless the reading of this word. Father, we thank and praise your name, your wonderful holy name, Almighty God. Thou art the Almighty God, and your word is true. And Lord, your promises are true. Open the windows of heaven and anoint each and every one of us. Lord, we know these are the last days. And we know that there are many things that you have for us to do. We know that there are many things that you have for us to do. And we know, Lord, because the fact that there are so few of us that are putting out the gospel, that the enemy of our souls is attacking and trying to take your front runners off the firing line here, the front lines. We're the ones that are attempting to lead the entire world into the kingdom of God. And Lord, there are certain subjects that have come into the house of God and are at these times when it's touch and go, they purposely do everything they can. Otherwise, they're so weak that they don't know that Satan is using them as much as he is. We ask, Lord, that you open their eyes, open their brains, their spiritual mind, and their souls, their spirits, and that they stop defending themselves and stop thinking about themselves only, but that they start running interference for the people of the Lord rather than being on the opposite team as a football team and trying to block the moves that your front runners are doing for you. I know, Lord, that you're going to eliminate them if they don't begin being concerned about the things that they do and the things they say and the way that they don't obey those that you've put to rule over them in this world. Now, Lord, I pray that you give them sense enough to obey those that have the rule over them. And they stop, and that they stop distracting the people of the Lord so that we can plow through the darkness in this world, that your light can shine through us. We pray, Lord, that the darkness from them will be removed so that they too can be lights in this world that shall lead people into the light of your marvelous eternal kingdom. Send light into their lives, into their spirits. Open up their spiritual mind. Break every demonic power that is using them, Lord. And open up the gates of heaven that light will flood down through these messages and in every other way from all your front runners on this earth, however many it may be or however few it may be. Lord, the miracles will begin happening. And Lord, we know that Satan is furious because he knows that his time is short. Satan is furious. And he does everything, even to break prayers that your front runners are praying unto you, because we know. We know that you can do more in one flash of a second than the entire army of God can do in an entire 1,000 years. You can change the entire complexion of the day, of the hour, of the minute that we're living in. Lord, one split second, you can change the whole complexion of the world. You could raise someone up from the dead. And that which seems so dark would immediately illuminate the entire world and give them the faith that would cause them to believe your word, that your word is true and your promises are true. Lord, we pray that you'll cause people to pray before they call here while we're doing messages. It shows that they're not really in the spirit. Lord, send forth your arrows from the kingdom of heaven against every evil power, and let the blood of Jesus be foremost on our minds. Lord, we know that it is the blood of Jesus that destroyed the power of darkness. And we know that Satan cannot even stand or wants to be around anyone who is mentioning, who says things about the blood of Jesus. Because it is the blood of Jesus that took the sins away of all the world that will come unto you. In the name of Jesus, to take a blood bath in the Messiah's blood, the Savior's blood. Lord, we pray that you'll cover every one of these people in the blood of Jesus, and that they'll keep the blood of Jesus over their souls throughout the entire day. If people are having problems, Lord, not to be mouthing off and causing trouble inside the house of God, but to get a hold of you, Father, and cover themselves in the blood of Jesus, that they can be have the power to be obedient. Because we see in the Old Testament, Lord, how that people that were not obedient came to no good end. Lord, break every power of darkness. Satan has so many people and is doing everything that he can in the camp of the Lord to destroy the saved souls, even the ones that are born again of the Spirit and have been filled with the Holy Spirit and have power, but they fail using it. Open up doors, Lord, where there seems to be none, and close every door to the devil. Open up doors for us. Send in trillions of dollars of finances, Lord, so that we can evangelize this world quickly and give gifts, spiritual gifts, unto those of us that are called according to your purpose, that are called according to your plan, according to, and are totally given to do your will. We're given over to do your will, Father. Thy will be done, not some person's will, but thy will be done on this earth, Lord, as it always is in the kingdom of heaven. Destroy the enemy of our souls, Lord. He knows his time is short and he's giving us a hard time. Build a great wall of fire around and about us, and encamp every angel in heaven around us, Lord. We're the end time crew of yours. We want you to lead, guide, and direct us, and we want you to clear, to run interference, Lord. Break the powers of all interference for us. Destroy the enemy of our souls, the enemy of your work, the enemy of your purpose, the enemy of your will. And let everyone cling to your word, because your word is you. Let them cling to you. And not let any evil thing come out of their mouth, but to be obedient in every way to your word. Because if people, you know, Lord, you've said that if people are disobedient to your word, they don't have to be disobedient a lot for Satan to enter into them with seven more demons, more evil than the ones that were originally cast out of them. Lord, let everyone put the cross to their mouth. Let everyone that has not been able to abstain from things that they know that you're not desirous of them doing, that they put a cross to it. Because these are the last days, and there isn't anything more important for us to do than to carry the cross, deny ourselves, carry the cross, and follow you. Lord, stop every enemy that's coming against us, that's planning against us. We see them cropping up on our website. We see who's checking us out. You're God. They're nothing. You've put a stop to them thus far, and I believe that you're going to do that. Lord, lead us in battle. And I know that you will deliver us from all evil. For you're with us to those that obey. And Lord, let there not be one Achan in this camp. Because one sinner can do a lot of harm, much harm. And bless this message, Father God, in the name of Jesus, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. I trust everyone can feel the Spirit of the Lord in that prayer. Amen. All right, go ahead then.
Chapter 35, King James Version, verse 1. And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God, that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household, and to all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments.
Change your garments is the same thing as change your life. In other words, put on the new man. Bury the old thing. Your idol worshippers, bury them. It's the same thing as water baptism. Bury your old life. Bury your carnal life. Bury your doubting life in the water. Bury it by the old oak tree. Then go ahead.
And let us arise and go up to Bethel.
And let's go up to the house of God. Bethel means the house of God. Okay, then what?
And I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. Commentary, verse 1 through 3. Jacob's return to Bethel. God said to Jacob, quote, Now move on to Bethel and settle there. Build an altar there to worship me, the God who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau. So Jacob told everyone in his household, quote, Destroy your idols, wash yourselves, and put on clean clothing. We are now going to Bethel.
Right, one of his wives had idols right in the, packed in the saddle here. Amen?
Amen.
They're a bunch of idol worshippers. Then what?
We are now going to Bethel, where I will build an altar to the God who answered my prayers when I was in distress.
He's saying that because he knew their idols were not answering their prayers, but they did see that God was answering his prayers. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what else?
He has stayed with me wherever I have gone. King James Version, verse 4. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand.
So, see, they were idol worshippers. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
And all their earrings which were in their ears.
Why would they take their earrings that were in their ears? Because they probably, more than likely, had charms in them. Gods, charms of some one of the many gods they had back then. Gods that were not gods.
King James Version, verse 4. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears.
And I've already commented about the earrings in their ears. They had gods on them too, which they call charms. You see people buying charm bracelets today?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's just symbolic of other gods. Because you're not supposed to make images of God, or even make pictures of God, or what you think pictures of God should be like. Or are you to make pictures or images of anything that you think is God? Some people think that men are gods, and so some women think that, and so they make images of them. They put statues up on them, or statues of Mary, and God really hates that a lot. And He doesn't want you to make images of a calf, a cow, or anything like that, all right? Because a lot of people, those are gods to them, especially people like the Egyptians and these people right here. Okay, so he wanted to get rid of them so that God can bless them. Well, but we don't think God will not bless us. Well, why is it that you don't see many people being blessed in the world today? Because they just think, well, God's not going to pay any attention to a picture of a God or a picture of Jesus or something like that. That's why you're not blessed. You just don't believe the word. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so don't do that. Okay, then what else?
And Jacob hid them under the oak, which was by Shechem.
Right, so he buried all these earrings and all these false gods by the oak tree over there. All right, then what else?
Commentary, verse 4. So they gave Jacob all their idols and their earrings, and he buried them beneath the tree near Shechem. King James Version, verse 5. And they journeyed.
See, the Lord says every word that proceeds from the mouth of God we have to keep. Amen?
Amen.
So, that's the way it is. Okay, what else?
King James Version, verse 5. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them.
Why do you think the terror of the Lord was upon the city that was round and about them, that they were entering into? Because they heard of the slaughter that those two boys and their men did to those people after they got them circumcised, right?
Right.
They went in there and killed every single one of them. Now here they come. They're coming into our town. Are they going to kill us? That's the terror of God, because these people are of God. And are they coming to kill us, right? Wouldn't you be terrified if something like that, a big army of people started coming into your town and you heard they just wiped everybody else out just because somebody... one person raped their promiscuous daughter? Okay, then what?
And the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. Commentary, verse 5. When they...
there's other reasons it could be. Maybe the Lord put a plague on them or something, but I mean, that's what I think it was. Huh?
Yeah.
More likely, huh?
Yeah.
Then what?
When they set out again, terror from God came over the people in all the towns in that area, and no one attacked them. King James Version, verse 6. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is, Bethel, he and all the people that were with him. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. Commentary, verse 6 and 7. Finally they arrived at Luz, now called Bethel, in Canaan. Jacob built an altar there and named it El Bethel, because God had appeared to him there at Bethel when he was fleeing from his brother Esau. King James Version, verse 8. But Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried beneath Bethel under an oak, and the name of it was called Alon Bakuth. Commentary, verse 8. Soon after this, Rebekah's old nurse, Deborah, died. She was buried beneath the oak tree in the valley below Bethel. Ever since, the tree has been called the, quote, oak of weeping, end quote. King James Version, verse 9. And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Paddan Aram, and blessed him. And God said unto him, Thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. Commentary, verse 9 and 10. God appeared to Jacob once again when he arrived at Bethel after traveling from Paddan Aram. God blessed him and said, quote, Your name is no longer Jacob. You will now be called Israel. King James Version, verse 11. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land.
So that's a reaffirmation of the covenant that he made with Abraham and Isaac, okay?
Yes.
Then what else?
Commentary, verse 11 and 12. Then God said, quote, I am God Almighty. Multiply and fill the earth, exclamation mark. Become a great nation, even many nations. Kings will be among your descendants. And I will pass on to you the land I gave to Abraham and Isaac. Yes, I will give it to you and your descendants. King James Version, verse 13. And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone. And he poured a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. Commentary, verse 13 and 14. Then God went up from the place where he had spoken to Jacob. Jacob set up a stone pillar to mark the place where God had spoken to him. He then poured wine over it as an offering to God and anointed the pillar with oil. King James Version, verse 15. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake unto him Bethel. Commentary, verse 15. Jacob called the place, quote, Bethel, quote, house of God, because God had spoken to him there. King James Version, verse 16. And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath, and Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, Fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. Commentary, verse 16 through 18. The death of Rachel. Leaving Bethel, they traveled on toward Ephrath, that is, Bethlehem. But Rachel's pains of childbirth began while they were still some distance away. After a very hard delivery, the midwife finally exclaimed, quote, Don't be afraid, you have another son! Exclamation mark. Rachel was about to die, but with her last breath she named him Benoni. The baby's father, however, called him Benjamin. King James Version, verse 19. And Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem.
Rachel, because she was a liar and she was an idolater, and he stated, let the one who stole those idols die. And there she did. She's dying. She just died. Then what?
King James.
See, people don't take spoken word serious these days, but in the Old Testament, people believed that when you spoke a word, you gave a blessing, God heard it and answered it. And if a real person of the Lord speaks a word for you, God will do it. If they speak a word against you, you better watch out, because it will come to pass. All right, this word is meant for you to receive faith from it. You and I receive faith from this word. And this is what the word says, and you can rely on that the word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what I'm telling you is the truth. What the word is telling you is the truth. All right, then what?
King James Version, verse 19. And Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrath,
And she was not able to be in the same tomb with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And there are three wives. Leah could go in there with, in the same grave with Jacob, but not her. She was excluded. She was buried on the way. And the place is still known to this very day, and it's talked about in the Bible. And I mentioned it in the last commentary. Okay, then what else?
And Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem.
It's a actually in between Bethlehem and Jerusalem. Okay? Then what?
Commentary, verse 19. So Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is, Bethlehem.
Mm-hmm. In the Bethlehem area. There's a church there. That and that place where she was buried. I've been to Israel. Okay? And naturally it's a Catholic cult. Okay, what else?
King James Version, verse 20. And Jacob set a pillar upon her grave, that is, the pillar of Rachel's grave, unto this day.
And so, when they say, unto this day, that means that whoever added that unto this day in the Bible, that was added centuries later. Okay? Because how would the person that buried her know that it would be there unto this day? Amen?
Yeah.
Because it's mentioned elsewhere in the Bible about her grave being there to this day. And it's there with a crusader church over it. Now, we know that only the Catholics have crusades. And so, when it's a crusader church, that means a Catholic cult. Okay? We don't have crusades. No, born-again Christians. But Alberto, a friend of mine who was once a Catholic, used to say, we'll go on a crusade. I says, Alberto, we're not Catholics anymore, are we? I never have been, but I'm talking about him. Okay, then what else?
Commentary, verse 20. Jacob set up a stone monument over her grave, and it can be seen there to this day. King James Version, verse 21. And Israel journeyed and spread his tent beyond the tower of Edar.
Keep going.
And it came to pass, when Israel dwelt in that land, that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard it. Now the sons of Jacob were 12. The sons of Leah, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, and Simeon, and Levi, and Judah, and Issachar, and Zebulun. The sons of Rachel, Joseph, and Benjamin. And the sons of Bilhah, Rachel's handmaid, Dan and Naphtali. And the sons of Zilpah, Leah's handmaid, Gad and Asher. These are the sons of Jacob, which were born to him in Padan Aram.
Now 11 of them boys never went in and laid with their father's wife, but that one did. What do you think was laid up for him? That guy is a reprobate. What else?
Commentary, verse 21 through 26. Mm-hmm. Jacob then traveled on and camped beyond the tower of Eder. While he was there, Reuben slept with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and someone told Jacob about it. These are the names of the 12 sons of Jacob. The sons of Leah were Reuben, Jacob's oldest son.
You notice that Jacob didn't do anything about it. He just knew that God was going to, that he was cursed of God. And there's no way that you can shake a curse of God. No way. Well, why can't we get forgiveness? Esau sought for forgiveness and he didn't get it. And Judas Iscariot sought for forgiveness and he never got it. Saul wanted to be forgiven, but he didn't get it. Don't you get it? Don't you get it? It's not like sloppy, sentimental people. God is not like people where they just forgive adultery, fornication, incest, lesbianism, homosexuality. You're cursed if you do those things. Cursed. If thievery, like idolater. Who do you idolize, or what do you idolize? You have to bury it and live. Give 100% of your life to God. All the heart, 100%. All your soul, all your mind, all your strength, 100% of all that. Then you're a Christian. Otherwise, either you're undeveloped and you're striving to be that way. But if you're not striving, if you just want to watch movies and you just want to do things out in the world,
You're not striving for perfection. You're not striving for to be a godly person, to have power in God. Everybody wants to have power in God, but they don't want to pay the price. They don't want to put all those things of the world away. They want to have God and still have the pleasures of the world. And it doesn't work that way. So some people, when you say that in a congregation of people, you see a lot of sad faces. There's some things that the Lord winks at, but not sin. Not what he calls sin. He's a terrorist. Didn't you hear in this Bible it says where the terror of God came upon them? Amen?
Amen.
And God said, he brags, he's a terrorist. He says, I'll terrorize them. And he'll mock at you when you're going out into eternity because you played with him and then he's going to play with you. He mocks and laughs at you when your soul is leaving your body and you start screaming your head off. No, why don't you go watch a movie or something? Come on, boys. Watch lots of movies. Don't keep your mind on me. Okay, let's go. Or girls, come on, watch the movies. Then what?
Commentary, verse 23. The sons of Leah were Reuben, Jacob's oldest son, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. The sons of Rachel were Joseph and Benjamin. The sons of Bilhah, Rachel's servant, were Dan and Naphtali. The sons of Zilpah, Leah's servant, were Gad and Asher. These were the sons born to Jacob at Paddan Aram. King James Version, verse 27. And Jacob came unto Isaac his father, unto Mamre, unto the city of Arba, which is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac sojourned. And the days of Isaac were 180 years. And Isaac gave up the ghost, and died, and was gathered. His sons, Esau and Jacob, buried him. Commentary, verse 27 through 29. So Jacob came home to his father Isaac in Mamre, which is near Kiriath Arba, now called Hebron. Isaac lived 180 years, and he died at a ripe old age, joining his ancestors in death. Then his sons, Esau and Jacob, buried him.
Okay, so that was the last verse in chapter 35 of Genesis. We have 15 more chapters to do. And here's some more commentary.
On chapter 35, verses 2 through 4, quote, So Jacob told everyone in his household, Destroy your idols, wash yourselves, and put on clean clothing. We are now going to Bethel, where I will build an altar to the God who answered my prayers when I was in distress.
Right, I don't want to have a God that doesn't answer my prayers. I want to have a God that hears my prayers and answers them. So he says, you know, before he was an idol worshiper too, and so was Abraham. But they never got their prayers answered. They were happy to latch on to the one that hears prayer, answers prayer, and talks to them, and they can talk to him. And that's amazing that anyone can talk to God if they're saved. And even if you're not saved, you can get saved by talking to him. And so few do. They just would rather watch movies or keep their mind stayed on some stupid, idiotic thing, you know, rather than to commune with the Lord and to read his word, to gain more faith so that they could talk to God and move mountains. Literally move mountains. Heal the sick, the blind, the maimed, the halt, so that they could lay hands on the lepers and raise the dead, cast out devils and all the other things. People, their minds are so far away from the desire to do that, they'd rather do other things in this world that don't pay off at all. And when they need finances, you can call on God if you're keeping all of his commandments, and you can receive whatsoever you ask. Praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Verse 3. He has stayed with me wherever I have gone. So they gave Jacob all their idols and their earrings, and he buried them beneath the tree near Shechem. End quote. Jacob knew the truth that would ultimately be codified in the second commandment, that God deeply hates images or pictures of himself or any false god. The prophets later spoke out harshly against the use of images in Israel. Change your garments. This act was intended to signify a change of old life to a new life, a change of mind, heart, repentance. This is what Christianity is about, symbolized by baptism. Yet the foreign gods, which are not gods, were hidden beneath a carefully identified tenebinth tree. Thus paganism remained deeply rooted in their hearts. 35 verse 4, quote, So they gave Jacob all their idols and their earrings, and he buried them beneath the tree near Shechem. End quote. The foreign gods, which are not gods. Chapter 31, verse 19.
See, there's all kinds of gods in this world. Some people, their god is their husband, their god is their wife, their god is their boyfriend or their girlfriend, or their idol is some rock and roll singer or some rap singer. Their idols are all these. You have to just turn away from those things and put your mind on the Lord. Some people, idol is food. Some is like narcotics and drugs. Some is alcohol. There's all kinds of cars, automobiles, planes, trains, traveling. Millions of different sports and mingled in with millions of other things. Basketball, football, golf, photography, clothing. Motion pictures, television, they're all gods. And so the Lord wants us to turn away from all these things. Different furniture, or beautiful homes, or, you know, you name it. There's fishing, hunting, car racing, sports cars. You just go on and on forever. Okay, books, reading all manner of books rather than the Bible. And there's thousands of different crafts, making jewelry. And a lot of them, their computers are their gods. Amen?
Amen.
The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You can just find all kinds of good and all kinds of evil on the internet. Amen?
Amen.
So, you know, you've got to bury those old gods and just cling to the living God, the God, the Almighty God, if you want almighty things to happen in your life. Amen?
Amen.
Or you can just be like all the millions of other people that are on the internet. And nothing significant will ever happen in your life. And when you die, you'll be sorry. Okay? Then what?
Genesis 31:19. And Laban went to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the images that were her father's. End quote.
She's a thief and a liar. Amen?
Amen.
And other things too. Idolater. That's the devil. He's the father of lies. Amen?
Amen.
He comes to steal and destroy. Well, the Lord destroyed her. Then what else?
The earrings were apparently charms. 35 verse 5, quote, When they set out again, terror from God came over the people in all the towns in that area, and no one attacked them. End quote. The terror of God, a fear of the people of God, quote, the sons of Jacob, end quote. God continues to protect his chosen ones.
Right, because there's all kinds of plagues, earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, twisters, typhoons, floods all over the earth, famines, every kind of disease going on. But the Lord protects them, so the terror of the Lord would be as if you caught AIDS or cancer or leukemia then you know that then nothing can happen to you unless the Lord lets it happen. Amen?
Amen.
And then you have to start searching your soul to see, what am I doing wrong? Because if you don't know the Word, you don't know if you're breaking the Word or not. But if you know the Word and you keep breaking it, you won't listen, or you won't pay any attention. You won't take orders. You won't humble yourself. And then something happens to you. You don't have to wonder why it's happening. The Lord's letting it happen. Miriam did some things that were bad, and she turned as white as snow with leprosy. Amen?
Amen.
But then when she was prayed for, then it went away. When she repented, she got put outside the camp. Couldn't be around the others, because lepers can't be around the others. And that's the same way. People that are full of sin cannot be in the church. They can't be around the others because they'll contaminate them. They can't be mouthing off to those that have the have been given the rule of them by God. No, but they contend anyway, and they just won't pay any attention. Well, then they wonder, you know, you don't, you're not a man of God because you put us out of the camp. Yes, I did. Under the instructions of the Lord. Amen. I'm not going to be like you and pay no attention to the Word of God. I'm going to do what I have to for me to save my soul. Amen.
Amen.
A sinner is not worth me losing my soul. You understand?
Yes.
If you don't, you've got a bad understanding. Okay, then what?
35 verse 6 and 7, quote, finally they arrived at Luz, now called Bethel in Canaan. Jacob built an altar there and named it El Bethel, because God had appeared to him there at Bethel when he was fleeing from his brother Esau. Bethel. Once again, Jacob worshipped God Almighty at the same spot where he had met him many years before.
Where he would met him, God. Okay.
Yes.
Then what?
Genesis 28:11 through 22.
That's quite a few scriptures. I'll just let them read that. Okay.
Okay. 35 verse 9 through 15.
Let me hear it.
Okay. God appeared to Jacob once again when he arrived at Bethel after traveling from Paddan Aram. God blessed him and said, quote, your name is no longer Jacob. You will now be called Israel. Then God said, quote, I am God Almighty. Multiply and fill the earth! Become a great nation, even many nations. Kings will be among your descendants, and I will pass on to you the land I gave to Abraham and Isaac. Yes, I will give it to you and your descendants. End quote. Then God went up from the place where he had spoken to Jacob. And Jacob set up a stone pillar to mark the place where God had spoken to him. He then poured wine over it as an offering to God and anointed the pillar with olive oil. Jacob called the place, quote, Bethel, quote, house of God, because God had spoken to him there.
And in that very same spot. And what?
God reaffirmed the Abrahamic covenant for Jacob and affirmed his new name, Israel, as well. Chapter 32, verse 28. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. End quote. From this time on, the narrative interchanges, quote, Jacob, end quote, and Israel, end quote. 35, 16.
Chapter 35, verse what?
16.
1-6?
Yes.
Okay.
Quote, leaving Bethel, they traveled on toward Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. But Rachel's pains of childbirth began while they were still some distance away. End quote. God Almighty. Chapter 17, verses 1 and 2. Quote, and when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly.
Well, see, wait a minute. Now, all these evangelists today, these modern-day yokels, are saying nobody's perfect. But the Bible said there of many that they were perfect. Amen?
Amen.
Because you're perfect, even though you're striving, even though you make mistakes. If the Lord knows you've got a perfect heart that perfectly serves Him, that you're striving, you're not watching all kinds of other things. Your mind is steady on God. You may make mistakes. You may do things. You may do it innocently. But you're still perfectly, steadily staying turned to Him and not at all turning to the world like Lot's wife did. You're steadily going, so you're perfect. In the eyes of God, that's perfect. Okay, so I don't want you evangelists anymore to say that God's word is, that God is a liar, because you are. All right? Let every man be called a liar, but let God be called the truth. Amen?
Amen.
So if you're perfectly pressing in to heaven, and you're constantly, your mind is constantly on the Lord, you may make mistakes and everything like that, but that God still deems you as perfect because your heart is perfect before Him. You're going steadily into, not downstream, but upstream. Amen?
Amen.
You're climbing that mountain. Okay? And you may stumble, but you will not fall into sin. If you do that, you're not perfect with the Lord. These people that are saying that, they know they're sinning. You've got a whole army of different evangelists that are on television that want you to know that they're imperfect, because you might see them in some nightclub or in some whorehouse or doing some evil thing. And they just say, well, you know, we told you we're not perfect. Well, yeah, that's obvious, but the Lord says that you must be perfect, you must be holy, or you're not going to get into the kingdom of heaven. Okay, so that's the way you have to be. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what? And there are many of us that really strive into the Lord for perfection. Amen?
Amen.
And yeah, we make mistakes, but by George, we're not deliberately going out and sinning.
Amen.
All right? Then what else?
Chapter 35, verse 14.
Unless you're just, there's some people in the church that they're told to obey, and there's people in the world, they will never do that. Because their pride is far more important than that. You reprove them, and you tell them, don't be yelling and screaming, and they'll just keep it up, because they have no intentions of obeying the Lord, or obeying those that God has placed over them. They have no intentions of doing that. So they can't even keep that small of a commandment, let alone all the others. So if they can't keep the small things and do them, you know for sure the Lord says that they will. How will they be able to take care of the big things? Amen?
Amen.
They'll not stop committing adultery or fornication because they can't even shut their mouths, clam up when they're told to, you know? They want to disrupt the whole church or whatever household they're in. They just can't keep it together or get it together, you know, in the Lord. They don't remember that the Lord said, even though, you know, your leader may not look like a godly person, but if God is using them, you better believe that they are, all right? And you better really wake up, because you're the one that's going to be in trouble. There isn't any flesh that God has chosen that look like one of these squeaky, clean Baptists, you know, with the seersucker suit and the Jim Clinton shoes and the rose, or Tom McCann shoes and the rose hair oil, you know, that they put on their hair, and they just look so squeaky clean, and they're just so holy. They're even more holy than God. But you take a real person of the Lord, most of them look like, John the Baptist looked like a wild man, and Jesus didn't look like any big deal. Elijah didn't look like any big deal. They thought he was a wild man also. You see some of the most crude people in the world. Those are the ones God chooses to confound, those that are so squeaky clean. Okay? Heaven is going to be one of the biggest upsets that you ever saw. There's going to be Chinese up there, and black people, and beige people, and, you know, all kinds of different people up there that you'd never expect. Even people that were former hippies, you know? And all these squeaky clean people are going to be screaming their heads off in hell if they don't, in the lake of fire, if they don't get right with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Now, God doesn't like it if you go to hell. That's up to you, though, you know. He's not going to stop you because He didn't make us into robots. He made us all free moral agents. And so you've just got to make it your will to do His will, because it's not going to just happen. You have to make it happen. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, go ahead.
Then under God Almighty, chapter 35, verse 14, quote, Jacob set up a stone pillar to mark the place where God had spoken to him. He then poured wine over it as an offering to God and anointed the pillar with olive oil. End quote. Chapter 28, verses 16 through 18. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, How dreadful is this place! This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven.
Well, because God spoke to him in that place, but today people get spoken to everywhere, I mean, and every day, because the Lord is in us. And so I'd have to put a pillar up all over this house and all over the place, wherever I've been.
Verse 20, quote, Jacob set up a stone monument over her grave, and it can be seen there to this day, end quote. To this day indicates that this one clause was written centuries later.
It's just a clause that was added in. And what else?
Rachel's grave is recorded as still having been there in Saul's time.
Oh, Father God, in the name of Jesus, touch and heal her and make it a very quick birth, Sabine's birth, and make it as painless as can be, Lord. Touch her and, you know, Lord, we are the been touched by the river of life. We have life, and we have it more abundantly, which means the life without pain, without sickness, disease, illness. You're the comforter, so comfort her right now and make this a real easy birthing. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Okay, that was what that phone call was all about, in case, so I there's no need to edit this out and let you know that we do believe in being instant in prayer, and that's what that phone call was, and so I thought I might as well just put it on the tape. Okay, and let's keep going.
Rachel's grave is recorded as still having been there in Saul's time. See,
like Saul, you know, King Saul. So it's recorded there. Go ahead and read it.
1 Samuel 10:2, quote, When thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulchre in the border of Benjamin at Zelzah, and they will say unto thee, The asses which thou wentest to seek are found, and lo, thy father hath left the care of the asses and sorroweth for you, saying, What shall I do for my son?
Okay, so it's recorded there. It's been there a long time already. Amen?
Amen.
And it's there to this day. As I said, in a crusader church, a Catholic cult, okay? Okay, then what else?
The traditional place between Jerusalem and Bethlehem is the present site of a crusader church, more than likely Catholic cult.
All right, praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo, and you've just heard the 35th chapter of the book of Genesis. And Lord willing, I'll be doing the 36th chapter this evening. And until then, keep your mind concentrated on the Lord. Remember that we're living in the very last hours of time, and all hell is liable to break out at any moment. And if we're in the Spirit of the Lord, as the Scriptures say, that the Lord is going to be there and protect His own. So make sure that you are His own. Stay in the Spirit and live. Praise the Lord. God bless.